Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity. Divine, all blessed, peace and love, joy and prosperity, revelation, manifestation, meeting at high noon, U.S. Central Standard Time at the crossroads, bearing iron, bearing the crossbow, bringing the plow to create and recreate a foundation for which we can move forward on, and not only the remembrance of who we are and our ancestors, but who we are becoming as we continue to evolve and move forward. You are now listening live and always an archive at your leisure and convenience to the Divine Prince, Pan-African spiritualist, practitioner, author, and advisor, Elagun Oloye Hudu Obeya Bokur, sharing with you and all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, universal, evolutionary, revolutionary, healing, and holistic from a Pan-African hoodoo world spiritualist perspective, understanding that all is truly and indeed a blessing if you can just see beyond the veil, for it is all just an illusion and a test, and one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. This is my constant prayer, my mantra, affirmation, reverberation, reiteration, and my personal ever-living reality. It is crucial to the very foundation of my understanding, my teaching, my walk, my works along this divine, all-blessed life path and journey. It is how I, the Divine Prince, make sense out of all that we are challenged with here in our daily existence on Mother, Father, Earth. And it is my personal place of power and understanding. That place from where I begin, the place from where I realize and crystallize all my endeavors, understanding that I and I alone create and co-create my divine, all-blessed reality. Today is Monday, April 30th, 2018, and I am emanating and vibrating with you and for you, virtually, but always live. Verbally, cosmically, quantum universally, from this working temple of the House of the Divine Prince, Thai Potions, Hoodoo Central, Black Hawk Voodoo in this legendary, historic, beautiful, and most enchanted city in America, New Orleans, the land of my ancestors and those who came before me along this spiritualist hoodoo obey a life path, a journey, passing down that great Obeah stick along with the knowledge of the healing, life-giving herbs, roots, plants, rituals, spirits, and minerals. I'm humbled and honored and appreciative of those who do join us here in this squared circle of gods and goddesses for the Power Lunch, revolutionary hoodoo New Orleans, hoodoo secrets and recipes, here on blogtalkradio.com/the-divine-prince. My live listen-in and call-in number is area code 347-215-8967, 347-215-8967. Please do press the number 1 on your telephone keypad when you're ready with your question, comment, or request. I'll be more than happy to bring you into the conversation. And, of course, my website, where I can be reached utilizing various means virtually 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, is www.houseofthedivineprince.com. Sort of just moving right into where we left off in the previous show. Our songs are widely used in everyday life of the African enslaved in this America. As we discussed previously, singing served to inspire and motivate us in this burden of manual labor. Singing was also to express our value and solidarity with one another as an avenue for spiritual worship and connection. Songs were also used as a tool to retain information and to communicate. And so our code, if you will, when you're trying to study us, research us, rediscover us, tell our story, you have to look at more than just religion, politics, history. You've got to look at hair. You've got to look at attire. You've got to look at rhythm. You've got to look at so many other nuances which the enslaved African was able to contain, to the best of our ability, our true identity. We have been taught over and over again that the majority of the slaves were illiterate, but And so it presumes that the only story to be told, the only history to be documented, is somewhere written down. But voodoo, in Fon, really translates into spirit. Spirit knows no bounds of book, text, doctrine, if you will, even religion. Well-known spirituals of the mid-18th century are much more complex than they have first appeared. Codes which take the form of railroad terminology and biblical analogies were encoded in spirituals, allowing supporters and fugitives to communicate discreetly with one another. For instance, being bound for the land of Canaan for a slaveholder could mean ready to die or go to heaven. But to a slave, it meant getting ready to go to Canada. Without the knowledge of these codes, the lyrics appear to hold different and non-threatening meaning to the slaveholder. And it helps to keep this this delusion, for lack of better words right now, that there's somehow some distinction to be made between the house slave and the field slave, the house Negro and the field Negro. Somehow the field is, you know, stronger than, more durable than, endured more, but also had some sense of a space, because we can't even use the word autonomy, but space to somehow preserve themselves in the way that we feel the house Negro could not. I like the way Yolanda Van Zandt said it. You know, the house Negro just got raped first. Master had to come out the back door to get to the field slave. But the presence of resistance was at every level. It was in how we wore our hair, how we wore our clothes, what we chose to do or not to do in any particular given moment, how we did what we did. And the coding, the mystery of our intentions, our motivations, but also our ancestral connection to voodoo and the ethnic practices that we would have remembered and contained at DNA memory level cannot be understated, I'm sorry, cannot be overstated for its motivation in fueling rebel behavior, liberation, a desire for freedom, revolution. My long-term listeners have heard me say before, and I said it a lot in my earlier years of broadcasting this show for 10 years, that there would be no revolution in the West without voodoo. There would be no revolution, no sense of self-identity, no sense of we don't have to lay down and take this if it were not for voodoo and the survival of voodoo through the torrents of the Middle Passage. And not just Haiti, but voodoo that would exist in the bosom of all enslaved Africans, particularly in those earliest years, but would then be passed down, like Kunta Kinte attempted to pass it down in the fictional depiction of In Roots, from person to person, generation to generation in their memory. And we have to choose to want to remember. We have to exercise memory. We have to talk about it. We have to visualize it. We have to meditate on it. We have to have a desire to hold on to and contain those things which not only are so deeply important to who we are as individuals, but to our livelihood. Without a vision, without a sense of understanding, there's nothing outside that is to be understood that can save us, rescue us, prepare us, if you will, for a better day. Some of the code that would have been understood, commonly referenced in these spirituals and Negro slave songs, and you know, all the various titles that we have for this particular genre of music. And some of these, I think, are important to say out loud because they have a strong resonation for what's going on today in the present. For instance, agent. When we say the word agent, particularly in the conscious community, those who were teenagers and or adults in the 60s and the 70s, and of course those who come after, who gain a sense of understanding of what that word means through pop culture, agent in the slave context as a code, one who coordinates, plans escape routes, and establishes contacts. Today, we have even demonized that word agent to mean the one who drops a dime, to mean the one who snitches, if you will, to mean the one who now comes in to disrupt the system. Baggage. I'm hesitating just long enough for you all to allow those present ideas of what these words mean to sort of filter through your mind before I put them in the context of slave code. Slave code. I'm giving you slave code. Baggage. Fugitives who are carried by the Underground Railroad. Canaan. The so-called biblical Canaan would have been code for Canada, going north, as far north as you could possibly get, would have been Canada. The conductor is the one who is responsible for directing fugitives from station to station, the conductor. The drinking gourd, a more popularized word, many of us have heard reference to at least the drinking gourd. But did you know that it was code for the Polaris or the Big Dipper, the North Star? And for me, this is also important because, again, we are told that our people were illiterate, uneducated, couldn't speak English, quote unquote, so that therefore they couldn't interpret all this science and literature and history that would have been documented in books. But because of that exercising of memory, DNA memory, ancestral memory, spirit memory, we had a deeper understanding of the sky and the night sky than we've been given credit for over the last 200 or 300 years. And I don't believe that this was somehow taken from us, lost from us, particularly here in Louisiana and the Delta and Mississippi, where there was a co-unity, a relationship that was developed, a relationship that was built between the Native American and the escaping slave. And we attribute, almost without thinking about it, the Native American having consciousness of the sky, the positioning of the stars, the positioning of what we believed to be visible. Our culture, particularly the Dokkan, have demonstrated that even things that are not supposed to be physically visible were absolutely visible and conscious to our people. So the drinking gourd would have been code for the Polaris, North Star, or the Big Dipper. Forwarding, that's a modern email related text message related word, forwarding, but in slave code, forwarding meant moving slaves from station to station. The freedom train, the gospel train, meant the Underground Railroad. Freedom train, the gospel train was code for the Underground Railroad. French leave meant sudden departure. Heaven, as I explained earlier, was Canada, or the land of freedom. And there are many other codes that I am not going to spend the last 10 minutes of my show going into, but I want to bring it into context. And I often quote from and give great honor and credit to Mama Zogby. Many of you know her as Mami Wata, for her MamiWata.com, for her dedication and commitment to documenting and writing things down and giving us material that we can study, that we can meditate on, that we can incorporate into our spirit, that we can help find deeper understanding and give words to who we are in the diaspora of Voodoo. So what is critical to understand is that although the culture of deities, religious practices, throughout the various ethnic groups, the Akan, the Fon, the Ewe, the Igbo, the Yoruba, were outwardly the deities themselves continue to be born within the African people. And the Voodoo traditions, though modified, continued in individual African-American families and communities. And ceremonies were held in secret meeting places or masked. Masked is a really strong word if you understand racial masking as a context of who we are as people in America. But also masking as it relates to a cultural phenomenon unique to New Orleans. So we masked our traditions in early religious worship and practice. And that's why there's so much African, Black, grassroots, carnival culture that you all mix up and confuse to be a part of what Mardi Gras is. Excuse me. And if you listen during my Mardi Gras season shows, you've heard me say Mardi Gras is a Christian holiday or an extension of a Christian holiday going into Lent and Ash Wednesday and many other details that I don't always have on the tip of my tongue. Whereas Carnival, just like you see it in Haiti, just like you see it in West Africa, just like you see it in Brazil, it's more a demonstration of ancestral honor and worship. Egungun, Belede, all the various outward and artistic performance, cultural, ethno manifestations of our connection to spirit, once again, our connection to something greater than ourselves. Haitian cultural and religious influence was the last to refresh what was clearly the esoteric, out-of-cultural expression of the deities. Additionally, even their influence did not begin to take root until the early 1800s. Shortly after Haiti won their independence, and many disgruntled white French slaveholders fled to the U.S. and to Cuba, bringing many of the enslaved Africans with them. The Haitian groups who refreshed and overlaid the diminishing voodoo esoteric culture in America, specifically in Louisiana, were largely from the Fon, a subgroup of the Ewe. Some of you say Ewe, and the final group to be imported, which is why their Haitian blends remained the most recent and the most enduring. Easier to locate archaeologically, if you will, as you study and read. And people always ask me, what should I read? What's your reading list? What book? That really gets me. What book should I read? And I say read them all. Read all these authors. Read all these books. There's no other way. There's no better way to get a cyclical, spherical, clear, as quartz crystal understanding of the story, our story. And so the point that is being made is that the Voodoo religion was introduced into America by the Africans who were directly imported into slave-holding states from West Africa. Over the centuries, as the system of African religious and cultural suppression was effected in America, the Haitian blended influence, being the last, became the most enduring, especially during a time where Black codes were being written, Jim Crow was being dreamt about, in time, it too would be ultimately reduced to the present day ethnobotanical and magical folk practices known as hoodoo. It is this Afro folk tradition, practiced all throughout America for centuries, that Hollywood and Christian evangelicals enjoy labeling as the sort of dirty voodoo religion that many people conjure up when I say I practice voodoo. Well, what is your religion? Voodoo. Respect the voodoo. Finally, spirits and deities can be born to anyone, anywhere, irrespective of race, ethnicity, or faith. However, they are named and served in unique ways specific to culture, ethnic group, lineage. The purpose of even talking about this is about lineage, family, indigenous birthrights as Africans the world over. It is an important distinction concerning the cosmogenic biological link versus a sort of faith-based Western sense of, can we all just get along? Can we all participate in? Can we all sort of do? This relationship, history, family lineages, et cetera, is separate and distinct from current outpouring of this sort of new age cultural Hollywood fantasy, Christian evangelical. You've heard me use all of these terms on many occasions, black witch sort of approach to voodoo. And a reinforcing of either the magical perspective of what voodoo is or a malevolent perspective of what voodoo is. And this distinction are critical to understanding the consistency and the permanency and the indestructibility of the unique relationship that the Afro diaspora has had and continues to have with their ancient ancestors, our ancient gods and goddesses that we've been honoring, that's present in our DNA memory since time immemorial. We don't have to be legitimized, validated outside of ourselves. We don't need someone's approval to be who we already are. What is already in us, what is already. And I know that many of our lifestyles, not mine necessarily, but many of our, meaning I want to be inclusive of all my listeners, lifestyles don't always jive with this sort of way of being. And there is a shift that's taking place right now. There is a turning, if you will, inward turning, because this is not something that can be fostered. No amount of radical discussion and discourse can cause this sort of shifting to take place. It's something that has to happen from within. It often comes through your dream, through the intercession of our ancestral spirits and those who communicate messages back and forth from the spirit realm of our ancestors to us, through signs, through empathic feeling. But there is a shifting that's taking place where we return to an understanding, where we return to an indigenous way of viewing things in order to heal, but also to regain ourselves. Before, we must go back in order to move forward. We've tried just getting along. We've tried just moving on without addressing. And it's at the root of the destruction of our culture presently at every level, in my opinion, and those of the elders that I'm in communion with on a regular basis. our answers are diverse. The jobs that are available to us in terms of getting involved, becoming activists, doing something for children, doing something for the elderly, doing something for women, something to address young men, the jobs that are available to us are various. But in my opinion, in my understanding, how we solve the diversity of issues that are before us, it's very simple. It's very simple. And we must enter through our ancestors first. First. And for those of you who practice Lokomi, Yoruba, Sesenia, you know that often ancestors and Egun is taught together, is shared together in terms of teaching with Ori. There's a difference between Ori, our God self, our highest state of consciousness, our highest state of being, if you will, and our ultimate connection to those who came before us, our ancestors. And so in my world, everyone would start there. Everyone would be immersed in the awareness and the knowledge and the technology that's now available to do your DNA research and find out more specifically who you are, where you came from, where you're going. I think it's valuable for all people, but particularly for us here in the U.S., both black and white. It's many ancestors masked as white, and you've continued to sort of marry white or Eurocentric in appearance, and you believe yourself to be white. There are many black who believe themselves to be many mixtures of things other than African. We still resist acknowledging with the greatest voice those ancestors in our bloodline that came through slavery, that came through the Middle Passage. We, some of us, but I implore you, take the test, do the research. It was life-changing for me. It was life-affirming for me, but it was also life-changing for me, the knowledge, the awareness, and then ultimately the ancestral power and gift that comes with that knowledge, that understanding. And then marry that to your practice. Marry that to your spirit journey. Marry that to, you know, your meditation, your diet, and all these other things that we, you know, quote unquote, call spiritual. And bring those two things together, and you'll find that you'll have a greater sense of stability. You'll have a foundation for which to move forward from, to grow from. You'll have something then to gift your descendants, your children, your brothers and sisters, the other members of your family. This information has been life-changing, not just for me, but for other members of my family. And other members of my family have gone on to then have their own DNA test done. So I don't have to keep saying it. Many of you know I'm getting feedback through the Osho Festival that many of you know that I'm a strong proponent of the DNA, and it's supported, universally almost supported in the conscious community for those who really want to find something to hold on to beyond faith, beyond just, it's a feeling, it feels right to me, you know, something that we can latch on to then plant seeds, to plow and till the land, to plant seeds and drop roots, and then in its due season, produce fruit in ourselves, in our families, in our community, and ultimately in the Pan-African world of ATR. As always, I leave you with Congo Square, always Congo Square, but also that all is truly and indeed a blessing if you can just see beyond the veils. It is just an illusion and a test, and one of the greatest divine mysteries of the spice cycle. All is a blessing.
Congo Square. The Omus Indians prepared this place for us centuries before our arrival. A sacred spot where corn festivals were celebrated. The Omus Indians prepared this place for us centuries before our arrival. Congo Square, a sacred spot where corn festivals were celebrated. And as the colonizers came, our hosts, the Omus Indians, they pushed aside our hosts. The colonizers came and pushed aside our hosts and introduced us in chains. And by the late 1700s, we somehow, recognizing the sacredness of Les Places de Congo, we somehow, and the how of our somehow persuasive methodologies is not clear at this moment. The how is not clear. How our persuasive methodologies worked is not clear at this moment, but nevertheless, even as slaves, we crafted and created a space where we could be free to be we. And thusly we countered the sacrilegiousness of the French, giving great homage to our ancestors as well as giving praise and thanks to our red-blooded brothers and sisters. This is an oral libation toast to Congo Square, to Native Americans, to our ancestors who made a circle out of a square and gave us a way to stay ourselves, save ourselves from the transformatory ugliness of America, which refuses to recognize the spirituality of life. Which refuses to recognize the spirituality of life and celebrates death with crosses and crosses, double and triple crosses, the middle passage, the first cross, Christianity, the double cross, and capitalism, the ultimate triple coup de grace cross of our captivity. But the terror of crosses notwithstanding, we sang. We beat, we be, we was and is. Hail Congo Square. Congo, Congo Square. Our African gods have not been obliterated. They have merely retreated inside the beat of us. Inside the beat of us. Our African gods have not been obliterated. They have merely retreated inside the beat of us until we are ready to release them into a world that we recreate. A world heralded by the beat. Be, beat, being, beating, being of black heart drums. Heart, beat. Heart, beat. Heart, be at this place, be heart, be we, beating place in new world space, beating being in place in new world, preserving our ancient pace. Our dance is the God walk, our music the God talk. First thing we do, let's get together. Circle ourselves into community. No beginning, no end. Connected together and singing, ringing, singing in a ring. Second, let's be original, aboriginal. be what we were before we became what we are. Be bambula dance, be banza music, and sing song words which have no English translation. Third, let us remember. Let us remember never to forget. Even when we can't remember the specifics, we must retain the essentials. Let us remember never to forget. Even when we can't remember the specifics, we must retain the essentials. The bounce, the blood flow, the feel, the spirit grow, energy. Must retain and pass on the essential us-ness that others want to dissipate, whip out of us.
Whoa!
But no matter. No matter how much of us they prohibit. No matter how much of us they prohibit. Deep inside us is us. Deep inside us is us. Remains us inside and needs only the beat to set us free. The beat to free us. It is morning, a sun day, a feel without shade, but dark. Dark with the people black of us in various shades, eclipsing the sun with our elegance. We are centuries later now, and still this sacred ground calls us to remember, to beat, to be. We are centuries later now, and still this sacred ground calls us to remember, to beat, to be. Beat Congo Square. Be Congo Square. Beat. Be. Beat. Be. Beat.
So.
Congo Square. Be. Congo Square. Remember. Remember.